Welcome back, everyone. Glad you can join us. If we can bring the rabble down to a dull roar, that'll be good. We're going to sing number 76. Oh, love that will not let me go. It's a beautiful song. Bright says it's great to be back. Welcome, Kevin. Glad you can join us.
Oh, love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee, I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths its flow may reach a torch to thee, my heart restores its borrowed ray, and in thy sunshine's blaze its day may brighter fairer be. O joy that seekest me through pain, I can close my heart to thee. I trace the rainbow through the rain and feel the promise is not vain, that morn shall tearless be. O cross that liftest up my head, I dare not ask to fly from thee. I lay in dust like story dead, and from the ground there blossoms red, life that shall endless be.
So, Lorraine has a new hymn for us to sing.
Wow, Lorraine.
Are you going to come up and sing it? Yes.
Oh, wow.
And Pete, 454. Don't you see my Jesus coming?
Oh, that's funny. We
don't. So we have to sing each verse twice. So we sing the verse twice, and then we go to the chorus. This is what come and show us, Lorraine. I've had a bit of a practice, but no promises.
To see my Jesus coming, see him coming yonder cloud,
with 10,000 angels.
Oh.
Starting again. She was playing.
To see my Jesus coming, see him coming. Angels round him, how they do my Jesus Christ. kingdom will you go to glory with me. Hallelujah, oh, praise ye the Lord. Do you see the saints ascending, hear them shouting through the air. Jesus smiling, trumpets sounding, now his glory they shall share. I am bound for the kingdom, will you go to glory with me? Hallelujah, oh, praise ye the Lord.
Thank you.
Well, that's
the next one.
But you want to do it again?
Yeah.
Going to do it again, folks?
Back on the mic.
Yeah. Keep practicing. Don't you see my Jesus coming? See him coming in yonder cloud. With 10,000 angels round him. How they do my Jesus crown. I am bound for the kingdom, will you go to glory with me? Hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. Do you see the saints ascending, hear them shouting through the air? Jesus smiling, trumpets sounding, now his glory they shall share. I am bound for the kingdom, will you go to glory with me? Hallelujah, praise ye the Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lorraine.
Thanks,
mate. That's, we'll have to now sing 33, I sing a new song to the Lord, because we just sang a new song. You want to do 33? Oh, not 3, 2, 3.
Always.
Sing a new song. Always. Fiona's always.
Yes.
33.
And we're singing this for Liz as well.
For Liz? Ready, Mrs. Musics? Oh, Hassan, we sang 76. Go to the beginning of the live stream.
Sing a new song to the Lord, ye to whom wonders belong. Rejoice in his triumph and tell of his power. Sing a new song to the Lord. Now to the ends of the earth, see his salvation is shown, and still he remembers his mercy and truth. Unchanging in love to his own. Sing a new song and rejoice, publish his praises abroad. Let voices in chorus resound and fall, resound for the joy of the Lord. Join with the hills and the sea, thunders of praise to prolong, in judgment and justice, he comes to the earth. Oh, sing a new song to the Lord.
Do we know 438? If we don't, you'll come and sing it.
Yes.
Of course we know this one. 438. 438 is great, mate. You will see your Lord coming. White used to sing this. Pumping his Bible as he came down the...
You will see your Lord a-coming. You will see your Lord a-coming. You will see your Lord a-coming in a few more days. Hear the band of music. Hear the band of music. Hear the band of music which is sounding through the air. Gabriel sounds his mighty trumpet. Gabriel sounds his mighty trumpet. Gabriel sounds his mighty trumpet in a few more days. Hear the band of music. Hear the band of music. Hear the band of music which is sounding through the air. You will see the saints arising. You will see the saints arising. You will see the saints arising in a few more days. Hear the band of music. Hear the band of music. Hear the band of music which is sounding through the air. Angels bear them to the Savior. Angels bear them to the Savior. Angels bear them to the Savior in a few more days. Hear the band of music. Hear the band of music. Hear the band of music which is sounding through the air.
Another verse.
Then we'll shout our sufferings over. Then we'll shout our sufferings over. Then we'll shout our sufferings over in a few more days. Hear the band of music. Hear the band of music. Hear the band of music which is sounding through the air.
Daniel's being our wonderful canary, picking up the vibe. Everyone's happy to be here this morning. Thank you, ladies. Well, wasn't last night wonderful? I floated off to sleep in the arms of Jesus. Wonderful, wonderful. Could feel the spirit. Had a wonderful sleep. Woke up in Pilgrim's Rest with all of God's children. I want to wish you all a happy Sabbath. We're in the Sabbath during the feast. So this is a high Sabbath. So have you all got your surfboards? Waxed up and ready to go? Excellent. Air conditioning adjustment?
I think it doesn't go up any higher than
that.
I'll go
and sit somewhere else. Okay. Yes, because the fans give Lynn. So, what's the verdict? Are we turning on the fans?
Yeah, turn them on.
For those of you online, we're keeping our local audience placated. All right. So, for those who can, we're going to kneel. Father, we thank you for the beauty of the Sabbath. We thank you for your love. We thank you that we are your children and that you are pouring your spirit upon us and that you love us just as much as you love your only begotten Son. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Wasn't that a blessed presentation from Ryan?
Amen.
Encouragement for us. And a penny dropped for me during that presentation, listening. Just one of the verses that clicked together with the presentation that I'd like to share. We've done this presentation before, but this is... this is just filling my mind at the present time, a new and living way. And Colin shared a wonderful quote during the week about what a definition from the Spirit of Prophecy about what the new and living way is. And do you remember what that was, Colin?
Bring us to sunshine.
I think we might actually have your my father and your father.
That's it.
It's there, isn't it? So we don't have to we don't have to guess, do we? Because down the end, what does it say? He taught man to address the supreme ruler of the universe by the new name, our Father. This name signifies his true relation to us. When spoken in sincerity by human lips, it is music to the ears of God. And then she defines it this way: Christ leads us to the throne of God by a new and living way to present him to us in his paternal love. So what is the new and living way? Accepting that God is our Father and that we are his children. This is the new and the living way. And we're no longer servants but sons. And I would like to bring up a quote. But I'm getting into the sermon. Did we pray?
No,
we didn't pray, did we?
Yes, we did.
We did pray? We can pray again. I must need more prayer. We knelt and prayed. Well, I just want to pray to our Father once again. Father, it's just such a joy to come to you and to call you Father. I'm just so excited by this beautiful truth, a new and living way. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. So I just want to pick up something that Ryan mentioned in John chapter 1. And we want to notice verse 12. But as many as received him, Christ, to them gave he power to become. And how did he give us this power? By being a son. By believing that he is the Son of God and receiving him and his Spirit, he gives us power or authority to become the sons of God. And how do we obtain this title? Verse 13, which were born not of blood. How many times do you want me to repeat that for you? How did we become sons of God? Not of blood. But how? Nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld what? Which is? Character. We beheld his character, even the character, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so with that backdrop, I want to come back to this presentation, A New Living Way. And I want to read to you a few statements that most of us were taught that were Rick's and Ray's.
Yeah.
Raised in the church. Here is Got Questions on Reconciliation. How we are reconciled to God. The fact that we needed reconciliation means that our relationship with God was broken. And the fact that God is holy means that we were the ones to blame. Our sin alienated us from him. Jesus Christ's death on the cross is the basis of our forgiveness and justification. By grace, through faith in his Son, God thoroughly remakes us into the image of Christ. God and man are brought together. The formerly dead in sin are raised to new life. We are no longer enemies, ungodly sinners, or powerless. Instead, the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, whom he has given to us. It is a change in the total state of our lives. So the definition of reconciliation with God, there's been a break. We all acknowledge there's a break between us and God. But what is it that brings us back together? Christ's death on the cross, the shedding of his physical blood, is what is the basis of our forgiveness. Is that what you were taught? The blood of Christ shed is the basis that allows God to forgive us. When he sees the blood, he is enabled to forgive us. All right. Another one from a Christian website. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ fulfills the Old Testament promise of reconciliation through his atoning death and resurrection. Jesus provides the basis for forgiveness, restoration, and renewed relationship with God and human beings. So if Christ passes through the path of death and resurrection, is this a living way to God?
Not entirely.
Is it a living way to God?
No.
It's a path of death. It cannot be a new and living way. It's a path of death that Christ walked through to reconcile us to God. So we're just looking at some things. So, and here we have this text in Hebrews 10. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. So what is it that enables us to enter into the holiest, into the heavenly sanctuary? It's the blood of Jesus, which is a new and living way. So ask yourself the question, if the blood of Jesus is his physical blood that needs to be shed, which requires death, how is that a new and living way? Is there a contradiction here?
Yeah.
There's a contradiction here because it's not a new and living way. It's something that's old and very familiar to us, that every sin must be punished, and this is the way that we come to God. So what is this new and living way? So what is the blood of Jesus? And we talked about this last night. We read these verses. Then he took the cup and gave thanks, gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. So what did he give them to drink? Did he prick his finger and say, drink this? This is the blood of the new covenant.
The blood of the grape.
Gave the wine. Someone's alarm going off?
Yeah, he's being covered.
Okay. So the wine which Jesus gave them, he said, is the blood of the new covenant. And as we see in Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. We've sung for years that we sang earlier, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And did you ever think about getting into a fountain with actual literal blood and putting the blood all over yourself? It's sort of like a scene out of a horror movie, isn't it? There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins.
It's a lifeblood.
But this is what we're all like, okay, this is what God wants. This is what we have to do. We need Jesus' physical blood and thank God for the blood. But what is the blood? Genesis 49 tells you, let Miller's rules be applied. Binding his donkey to the vine and his donkey's colt to the choice vine, he washed his garments in wine and his clothes in the blood of grapes. So the blood of the new covenant, which Jesus gave to the disciples, was wine. And it's the new wine. It's the fresh blood of the grape. And this is the blood of the new covenant. So what is wine? Wine is blessing. Now let's notice a few verses. Isaiah 65, verse 8. Thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. So what is the wine a symbol of?
Blessing.
Blessing. There's a blessing in the wine. So will I do for my servants' sake that I may not destroy them all. Isaiah 65, 8. And again, Judges 9, this is a parable. Then the tree said to the vine, you come and reign over us. But the vine said, should I cease my new wine? which cheers both God and men. And go and sway over trees. So the wine has a blessing in it that does what? Cheers the heart of both God and man. And this same word, it's H8055, cheers, is what we see in the book of Psalms, wine that makes glad the heart of man. So where do we see in Scripture a blessing that makes glad the heart of man? This is the question. So a little bit more, Proverbs 12:25, using the same word, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. So a good word that brings a blessing, that cheers the heart of man, this is what the wine is. And what is this word? Here it is. Then I was by him, one brought up. We take out the supplied words. Jesus was brought up by his father, wasn't he? And the meaning in the Hebrew there is one that is sat on the knees and is, the English word is dandled. It's an old English word, isn't it? Bounced up and down on the knees. Jesus was raised by his father. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. And what caused the delight of Jesus? And lo, there came a voice from heaven, a word that was a blessing, saying, this is my dear son in whom is my delight. So when Jesus hears these words from the Father, did it make glad his heart? Did it make glad the heart of the Father? Was it a word that was spoken? Did it bring delight and cheer? So what is the wine? It's the blessing. It is the words. Coming back to the quote from Colin that he read to us, the new name, Our Father, his true relation to us, and when spoken in sincerity, it is music to the ears of God. It brings cheer to the heart of God when we say, Beloved Father, oh, how I love you. That cheers his heart. I believe that I am his son. I am drinking the wine of the new covenant. Okay? This is what we see here. And again, this same Hebrew word for glad, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God. What is this river? The river of life, which flows from the? Which is a symbol of? The Holy Spirit. So it is the Spirit that brings to us the word that we are his beloved children, and therefore when we drink the Spirit, the words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit and life. So it's the life of Jesus. When Jesus breathed upon the disciples, the Holy Spirit, he breathes upon them his life blood. Because what is it that gives Jesus life? The assurance that he's beloved of the Father. And as I've written in the book Life Matters, are you living if you don't have any sense that you're loved by the ones that gave you life? Is that living? Is it living not knowing whether you're loved by the ones who gave you life? Is that living?
No.
I hear it by many people. How are you? Surviving.
Still above the ground.
Still above the ground. Could that be related? I'm sure Pete doesn't mean it that way.
Yeah.
But like, I'm still here. Why am I still here? Reminds me of the timing of the passing of Kerry Packer. He was there surrounded by his family and it was time for him to go. And he'd been there and he shut his eyes and he woke up. Oh, I'm still here. Haven't I gone yet? That's existing, isn't it? Even after he had all that money, he was eager to go. He didn't want to live anymore. He'd seen too much and he'd used his money to do some very interesting things, didn't he? But we won't go into that today.
Yeah.
We won't go into that today. So the Spirit So we're connecting all these dots together. The Spirit, which is a blessing. You are my beloved child in whom I delight. This is the new and living way in which we have access to the Father. And it cheers both the heart of God and man, because when we say Father, beloved Father, it's music to the ears of our Father, that we believe that we are his beloved children and that we are fully reconciled to him. And how are we reconciled? And this is the point. How are we reconciled to him? When the Spirit enters our mind and says, you are my beloved child, and we believe those words, aren't we reconciled? Yeah.
Music to his ears.
It's music to his ears. We are reconciled by responding to that word. But it's a little bit more complicated than that. But this is the basis of it. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So when the Spirit speaks to us, you are my child, and we say, no, I'm not good enough, what are we doing? We're siding with the devil against ourselves. We are blaspheming the Holy Spirit. We're calling God a liar. He says, you are my child. And we say, no, 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 no. I'm not good enough. Depart from me, Lord. I'm an evil man. That's blaspheming the Holy Spirit. We need to be very careful that we don't blaspheme the Spirit of God. Of course, the Spirit of Jesus doesn't give up on us. He keeps reaching out after us until either we become like Moses or we become like Pharaoh. Our hearts are softened or our hearts are hardened. So drinking the blood of Jesus, then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say unto you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. In Christ is life, unborrowed and underived. And what is the spring? What is the source of this fountain of life in Jesus? His Father, that he believes and he knows by faith that he is the Son of the living God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And upon this rock, God will build his church. Because when you allow that Spirit to come into you so that you can say you are a son through the Son of the living God, you are building on the rock, the Son of the living God. And this is what it means to drink his blood, because that delight, that grape juice, that sweetness that he believes his Father. And this is why Jesus is the God of faith, the author and finisher of faith. Because when God spoke to him, you are my beloved son, this day I've begotten you, Christ believed the Father and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And therefore he became a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, or according to the order of Melchizedek, that he dispensed this wine to all creation, that we are his beloved children. This is what it means to drink his blood. My blood, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day, for my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. So when Jesus said to the disciples, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood, what does every good Jew, knowing the Torah, what would he say to him? You're not supposed to drink blood, are you? And Jesus telling me to drink blood,
And eat flesh.
You could eat flesh, but you couldn't drink blood. And that's why we get to John 6:66. Many turned away and followed him no more, because they didn't understand the spiritual implications of what Jesus was saying. And you know what? Jesus just doubled down and just said, you must drink my blood to have eternal life. And many turned away and walked with him no more, because they refused to take the spiritual meaning of what he was saying and they clung to the physical. Like Nicodemus, Jesus said, you must be born again. How can I enter a second time into my mother's womb? I'm going to make your words sound stupid so that I can reject them. This is what we get with all of the truths that God has shown to us. People turn them into something stupid. They turn them into folly so that they can reject them and reject you as insane. This is what happened to Jesus, our master. Because it says, Leviticus 17:11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I've given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your soul. So it's the life that makes atonement for your souls. So E.J. Wagner gives to us, this is in 1893, during the height of the 1888 message. It was in end of 1892 that Ellen White said that the drops of the latter rain have begun to fall. So this is about 10 months later, 11 months later, that Wagner wrote this. But how is it that the shedding of blood, even the blood of Christ, can take away sins? Simply because the blood is the life. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh atonement for your souls. So when we read that apart from the shedding of blood there is no remission, we know it means that no sins can be taken away except by the life of Christ. In him is no sin, therefore, when he imparts his life to a soul, that soul is at once cleansed from sin. And how does Christ impart his life to the soul? And Christ breathed upon the disciples the Holy Spirit. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. That's how he imparts his life. Okay? This is how we receive life. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And the word that is constantly coming to us is, you are my beloved child in whom I delight. But how is it that God could delight in you and me? We sin. We do evil.
He delights in you, but not me.
Oh, I thought he delights in you, not me.
Oh, we're on the same page then.
That's what Satan would have us believe, isn't it? But if we entertain these thoughts that God does not delight in us, we are blaspheming the Holy Spirit. It's serious. Don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Because his judgment over you is, you are my precious child, I delight in you. And when you believe these words, you begin manifesting the fruits of a son or daughter of God. Until you accept this truth, you cannot manifest the fruit of being a child of God until you actually become one. Does that make sense? So here the connection is restored at the baptism. Notice carefully these words. Desire of Ages 116. At the Saviour's baptism, Satan was among the witnesses. He saw the Father's glory overshadowing his Son. He heard the voice of Jehovah testifying to the divinity of Christ. How did the Father testify to the divinity of Christ? You are my beloved Son. How is that connected to divinity?
By inheritance.
By inheritance. His divinity came through the inheritance, through his sonship. Thank you.
So the Father was defining what divinity is.
He was defining
Christ's sense.
Yes, he was defining this is what divinity is. Accepting sonship. So how do we become partakers of the divine nature? Accepting our sonship, our daughtership. Ever since Adam's sin, the human race had been cut off from direct communion with God. The intercourse between heaven and earth had been through Christ. So is this Christ the mediator taking human nature? He'd been through Christ in the Old Testament. But now that Christ had come in the likeness of sinful flesh, born of a woman, as it says in Galatians, the Father himself spoke. You are my beloved Son. They're the words that he spoke. He had before communicated with humanity through Christ. Now he communicated with humanity in Christ. Satan had hoped that God's abhorrence of evil would bring an eternal separation between heaven and earth. But what does it say?
Now.
When?
Yes.
Yes. Now? When was now?
Today.
At the Savior's baptism. Now it was manifest that the connection between God and man had been restored. So when was the connection restored? It was made manifest at the baptism that it had been restored. But when had it been restored? When the promise that was given in Eden. But it was hidden from our eyes. We could not see it. That which was kept secret was now made manifest. So, but what does this tell us? If man was reconnected to God, if it was manifested at the baptism that we were reconnected with God, what does that mean about the atonement? If we are reconnected with God, aren't we atoned? Aren't we reconciled to God at the baptism? What does that do for the cross of Jesus at the end of his ministry? It wasn't necessary for reconciliation from God's perspective, because we were connected back to God at the baptism, or it was, I'll repeat this, it was manifested that we were reconnected to God. The atonement was completed and it was manifested at the baptism in the living life of his son. That spirit that fell upon Jesus was blood, wasn't it? The blood, the spirit of God descended upon Jesus, the lifeblood. You are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And from Jesus it went out, the blood of Jesus, the living, new and living way to the Father.
Which is how it's always been.
From the foundation of the world.
Yes.
That which I've, which was, I'm thinking of 1 John. No, I won't go there. One, no, I'm thinking of something else. All right, so this is a big deal. When I thought, now it is manifested that we are reconnected to God. This is the new and living way. This is wonderful news, particularly being raised in the church. To realize this, it was there all the time. I'd read this many, many times, but didn't see it. Oh, Laodicea.
We received our inheritance then at our baptism.
At the baptism.
Yes.
And this is what gives me great joy, because the foundation of this message that was given to me, you must take this message to the world, was based on the baptism of Jesus. This is the basis of the reconciliation that is taking place at this time. This is wonderful news. It has huge implications for us. And here we are, the connection restored, page 113, and the word that was spoken to Jesus at the Jordan, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased, embraces humanity. God spoke to Jesus as our representative. With all our sins and weaknesses, we are not cast aside as worthless. Do you cast yourself aside as worthless? Do you? We're tempted to, aren't we? When we stumble, when we fall, we go, oh, I just keep getting it wrong. What's wrong with me? When you're doing that, are you holding on to your sonship? Because it's in that moment when you stumble, when you fall, where sin abounds, that you turn and say, oh, Father, I'm so sorry. Thank you that you forgive me. Thank you because I am your son. You love me and you are not turning away from me. And I am not going to judge myself unworthy of eternal life. I step down from the judgment throne. I allow you to sit on the judgment throne and pronounce over me, you are my beloved son. And the shed blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin. Do we see the new and living way? His sonship. John 17, 23, that he loves us as he loves his son. Where is this gospel being preached in the world today?
Glenwood.
It's starting. Little points of light are starting to pop up that this is the gospel. And I say unto you, as Paul said, if any man preach any other gospel than that which I have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Because the person who condemns themselves in their moment of sin, what are they doing to themselves? They're cursing themselves. And if you preach any other gospel than that which we are preaching unto you today, let them be accursed. Not make them be accursed, not force them to be accursed. Let them alone. They are joined unto their idols. And what is their idol? A god of death. That is the idol of the nations. As I often say, a three-in-one killing machine. Let them alone. They are joined unto their idols. And we continue. The glory that rested upon Christ is a pledge of the love of God for us.
Amen.
Do you believe it? Amen. It tells, let's make it every day.
Yes.
It tells us of the power of prayer, how the human voice may reach the ear of God or our Father. Our petitions find acceptance in the courts of heaven. By sin, earth was cut off from heaven and alienated from its communion. But who cut it off?
We did.
We cut it off. We ran from our Father in the garden. We reasoned that we must die. God didn't reason this. We reasoned this. And we are children of Adam. But Jesus has connected it again within the sphere of? Within the sphere of?
Glory,
character. His love has encircled man and reached the highest heaven. The light which fell from the open portals upon the head of our Savior will fall upon us as we pray for help to resist temptation. Do you have difficulty with temptation? If you believe that you're a child of God, you'll believe that Father will give you help. The voice which spoke to Jesus says to every believing soul, "This is my beloved child in whom I'm well pleased." It is that sentence that led me out of the Trinity into the Father and the Son. This sentence. Because this cannot be true in the Trinity. Jesus cannot be the beloved Son of the Father and be the second person of the Godhead. These two are inconsistent. As Rowan would say, an axiom. It's an eternal truth. You cannot change it. It needs no explanation. He is the Son of God, period. That's it. And in this context, God says, "You are my beloved child in whom I am well pleased." This is the basis of reconciliation. This is the new and living way. And again, beloved, this is next paragraph. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And Robert Wieland was asked, what is the 1888 message? And he quoted the first paragraph of Christ and His Righteousness by E.J. Wagner. To know Christ just as he is will transform you into a perfect Christian. And to know Christ just as he is to know him as the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. Our Redeemer has opened the way so that the most sinful, the most needy, the most oppressed and despised may find access to the Father. This is the new and living way. Believe the word. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, in thine heart. You don't need to ascend up into heaven. You don't need to go down into hell. You don't need to go on pilgrimage. The word is nigh thee. And what is the word? You are my beloved child. Are you getting tired of me repeating these words? Did you understand me correctly? So Jesus offered himself. So what is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? Shall I continue? What does this scene mean to us, the baptism? How thoughtlessly we have read the account of the baptism of our Lord, not realizing that its significance was of the greatest importance. The greatest importance. The baptism is of the greatest importance. What do most Christians understand is the event of the greatest importance?
Cross.
The cross. This is the greatest importance. Well, it's up there, isn't it? To us that Christ was accepted of the Father in man's behalf. As Jesus bowed on the banks of Jordan and offered up his petition, humanity was presented to the Father by him who had clothed his divinity with humanity. Here is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Here he is both, as Ellen White says, he the victim, he the priest. How can you be the victim and the priest and still be alive through the new and living way? It says, Jesus offered himself to the Father, one offering in man's behalf, that those who had been separated from God through sin might be brought back to God through the merits of the divine petitioner. Because of, and here she goes into this sequence again, because of sin, earth had been cut off from heaven, but with his human arm, Christ encircles the fallen race, and with his divine arm, he grasps the throne of the infinite. That's the work of a mediator, isn't it? This is the work of our high priest. And it says, and earth is brought into favor with heaven and man into communion with his God. The prayer of Christ in behalf of lost humanity cleaved its way through every shadow that Satan has cast between man and God. What does that tell you? If it cleaves its way through every shadow, isn't this the new and living way? It's a new and living way. Casts itself, puts itself through every shadow that Satan has put up as a barrier. This cleaves its way when Christ offers himself to the Father at the baptism.
That sentence will become very powerful if we insert it in our name.
Yes. What, which here, the prayer of Christ in behalf of?
Liam.
There we go. That makes it real, doesn't it? And left a clear channel of communication to the very throne of glory. The gates were left ajar from the baptism. The heavens were open, and the Spirit of God in the form of a dove encircling the head of Christ. And who does Ellen White say that the dove represents?
Christ,
a fit emblem of him, a meek and the lowly Jesus. And the voice of God was heard saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So Christ offered himself as one of us in our flesh. As a child of Adam, he kneels before the Father. A living sacrifice. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is acceptable to God in a meek and quiet spirit. This is the offering of Jesus to the Father at the baptism. And then we see, so as we say here, this is when the human race, it was manifested that the human race was justified, wasn't it? Weren't we justified that everything was open, everything was made open? We were justified at the baptism of Jesus by believing the words, "You are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." This is the justification of the human race. And as Robert Wieland often said, it was given to all of humanity. The only way you can be lost is to throw it away. We all have been given the title of son and daughter of God. The only way you can be lost is to throw it away and to judge yourself unworthy of eternal life. Seeing you judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. You have to throw it away to be lost. We all have the title, son or daughter of God, from heaven's side. So now, Jesus, after that, he hears the words, "The Spirit driveth him into the wilderness." And then it says this, the scene of trial with Christ in the wilderness was the foundation of the plan of salvation. I've said this to you many times, but the first time I read that with any understanding, I was like, hang on a minute. Jesus' death on the cross is the foundation of the plan of salvation, isn't it? What's she saying here? What is the foundation of the plan of salvation? Temptation of Christ in the wilderness. And gives to fallen man the key whereby he in Christ's name may overcome. So what is it that Christ had to overcome in the wilderness? If you are the Son of God, you had to overcome the doubt that you were a child of God, or you had to demonstrate it. You had to prove it. This is the basis of identity wars. How are you a son of God? Are you doing Bible studies? Are you preaching? Can you quote scripture? Is that how you demonstrate you're a child of God? There's nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. It can be a manifestation that you are a child of God, but it has nothing to do with it. Many professed Christians look upon this portion of the life of Christ as they would upon a common warfare between two kings, as having no special bearing upon their own life and character. Therefore, the manner of warfare and the wonderful victory gained have but little interest for them. Their perceptive powers are blunted by Satan's artifices, so that they cannot discern that he who afflicted Christ in the wilderness determined to rob him of what? His integrity as? What is Satan trying to rob you of? Your integrity as a son or daughter of the infinite. Christ has conquered for us. Is to be their adversary to the end of time. Although he failed to overcome Christ, his power is not weakened over man. All are personally exposed to the temptations that Christ overcame. But strength is provided for them in the all-powerful name of the great conqueror, and all must for themselves individually overcome. What must you overcome? Doubt that you are a child of God. And every time you sin, Satan sidles up to you and says, oh, you're a child of God, aren't you? Really? And what are you going to do?
Yes, I am. Forgive me. You say to him, are you a son of God?
Agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art with him in the way. Yes, I am a sinner, but I am a son, which you rejected, Satan. You rejected your sonship. I haven't. I accept my sonship. Get thee behind me, Satan. I speak as a child, a son, or daughter of God.
One of our brothers has requested prayer. Maybe interject, we do that now or later?
We'll come back to that.
Okay.
So what is the great sacrifice? At the birth of Jesus, Satan knew that one had come with a divine commission to dispute his dominion. And what is Satan's dominion? Satan is the father of all those who don't have a father, who don't believe that God is their father. Isn't he the father of, in the common vernacular, Satan is the king of bastards, isn't he? He's the bastard of all bastards because he rejects his sonship as being a son of God. And all those who reject their sonship follow him.
They're a liar.
They're a liar, aren't they? Divorced his father. I'm no longer worthy to be called by your name. Make me as one of your hired servants. He's the king of all those. And if you reject your sonship, you will not only wear the title of a bastard, you'll become one. Isn't that true? Become very unsavory, unkind, cruel, subtle, deceptive, all those things. That's what happens. It is people who don't believe they're children of God who manifest hatefulness, envy, strife, malice, all these things. And so those of us that are sons and daughters should feel sorry and sad that we were once in that position. We know what it's like to feel like that, to feel cut off. So here is the great sacrifice. He trembled at the angel's message attesting the authority of the newborn king. Satan well knew the position that Christ held in heaven as what? Beloved. What was in Satan's mind? He well knew that Christ was beloved of the Father. So when God spoke to his son at the baptism, you are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased, the vibration went right through Satan and he vibrated with such a violent fury within himself that this did not apply to him anymore. He had rejected his destiny as a son of God. And when he hears Christ being spoken of in this way, he's filled with rage. And Christ accepted it as one of us. He reconnected earth to heaven. That the Son of God should come to this earth as a man filled him with amazement and with apprehension. He could not fathom the mystery of what? This great sacrifice. What is the great sacrifice? This is the new and living way. What is the sacrifice in the new and living way? That he would take upon himself sinful human nature to be pierced every day with the temptations of the flesh and to put up with the nonsense that we dish up. This is the great sacrifice. This is why Christ's human nature is everything to us. This is why it's part of the 1888 message. And the Advent movement has rejected this truth lock, stock, and barrel. No, Christ came in the nature before the fall. If he came in the nature before the fall, then God did not speak to our human nature, you are my beloved child in whom I am well pleased. That statement does not reach us. Do you understand? The great sacrifice of Christ was taking our sinful nature upon himself to be pierced with it, slain from the foundation of the world. Wow. This is the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It is a relational sacrifice. It is a relational suffering, not a 24-hour physical blood, spikes, pierces, whipping. This is physical. The real sacrifice of Christ is taking our nature upon himself. His selfish soul could not understand such love for the deceived race. If his selfish soul could not understand it, could it be possible that the church also does not understand it and therefore rejects it? Does that make sense? The human nature of Christ is everything to us as a people. This was the great test of the 1980s. Wasn't it? The church has rejected. Rejected the 88 message. Again, Desire of Ages, 48. The story of Bethlehem in its exhaustless theme, In it is hidden the depths of the riches both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. We marvel at the Saviour's sacrifice in exchanging the throne of heaven for the manger and the companionship of adoring angels for beasts of the stall. Sacrifice. Yet this was but the beginning of this wonderful condescension. It would have been an almost infinite humiliation for the Son of God to take man's nature, even when Adam stood in his innocence in Eden. That's what the church teaches, that's the nature that Christ took. But what does the spirit of prophecy say? But Jesus accepted humanity when the race had been weakened by 4,000 years of sin. He took not on him the nature of angels, but took on him the seed of Abraham. Like every child of Adam, he accepts the results of the working of the great law of heredity. This is what enables him to be our mediator. So it is as one of us, one that is tempted to doubt that they are children of God. My God, why have you forsaken me? That temptation, it's in that flesh that Christ received the words, you are my beloved child. Therefore, your nature is capable. It's been empowered, enriched through Christ to receive the words, you are my beloved child. So even if you were to think, I can't accept this, Jesus has already accepted it. His victory is ours. So even if your faith is not strong enough, the faith of Jesus is strong enough. Say, Lord, I don't have faith to believe that I'm your child. Jesus does. He has drunk the cup to its bitter end, the worthlessness of humanity. And in the depth of that sorrow, he said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. There is the victory. There is the salvation of the human race. In the depths of despair, at the end of the rope, when there's no more hope in our human nature, Christ said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. All right. The great sacrifice, the doctrine of the incarnation of Christ in human flesh is a mystery. Even the mystery which has been hid from ages, from generations, it is the great and profound mystery of godliness. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Christ took upon himself human nature, a nature inferior to his heavenly nature. Nothing so shows the wonderful condescension of God as this. Nothing. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. John presented this wonderful subject with such simplicity that all may grasp the ideas set forth and be enlightened. Do you see the new and living way? Do you see the gospel in a new and living way? And what it is to drink the blood of Jesus Christ. There's more I could go on with, but I can see some of you are wilting. This is the gospel, that we are his beloved children. Our atonement was completed. People say the atonement was completed at the cross. But what is the cross? Deny yourself. Christ's self-denial of his human flesh is the cross, which he held from the foundation of the world, slain from the foundation of the world, but manifested for us at the baptism. You are my beloved child, in whom I delight. This is our reconciliation. At the baptism is our justification. He then went into the temptation in the wilderness, and he was pressured. Are you a son of God? Jesus overcame the temptation that he wasn't a son of God. That is sanctification. Our justification was affirmed at the baptism. Our sanctification was affirmed in the temptation in the wilderness. All that remains is the glorification. All of this was given to us, justification, sanctification. All we need to do is drink the blood of the Son of God and wash our garments. So what does it mean to wash your garments in the blood of the Lamb? Sorry? Have faith, the faith of Jesus, that you are his son. That's what it is, to what, and to allow his Spirit to empower you not to sin anymore. This message will stop you from sinning. Because when the Spirit of the Son of God lives in you, it will give you victory over sin. It's given to you by inheritance. You can inherit it. But what is the great battle we have with sin? What is the great sin? The great sin is God says, you are my child, and we say, no, I'm not. That's the great sin. That is blasphemy. God judges us worthy of eternal life as his children. We judge ourselves unworthy of eternal life. This is blasphemy. This is the great sin against God. We judge God as a murderer and a destroyer. We wouldn't say murderer, an executor of justice and destroying his wayward children, performing billions of abortions at the second coming. This is blasphemy against God because God destroys none of his children. It's wonderful.
Is falling to the temptation that Christ received in the wilderness. It's falling to that
temptation. Falling to that temptation. I need to prove that I'm a son of God. I need to demonstrate it. I need to show. So when you accept your sonship, the Spirit of God comes into you, then you will arise and go to your Father's house. You'll go to your Father's house. And you will do things you never imagined. You will do great exploits. Those whose face, your face will start to shine as the stars of heaven. And you will go run to and fro to many places and bring many to this truth, because only sons of God can make or bring new sons of God. You must be a son of God to bring someone else into sonship. If you're not a son of God, you can't do it. It's not possible. So are you willing to accept your sonship?
Amen.
Your daughtership? Will you receive it? Satan's telling you, no, 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 you can't. Get thee behind me, Satan.
Because it's his power to stand between us and Christ when we don't accept it.
Yes.
He can stand there and claim us because we don't accept it.
If we don't accept, then he can claim us.
Because when we accept it, we accept Christ fully into our lives and acknowledge it fully.
Yeah. And it's a hell of an existence when you don't accept your sonship and you don't believe. Can we sing a song?
Amen.
Is that appropriate?
Yeah.
And I'm not worried about the cottage or the mansion in heaven. I mean, he sings about that, but we'll sing anyway. I'm a child of the King. That's the part I'm focused on. My Father is rich in character. He holdeth the glory of his character in his hand. We need to change his lyrics.
We need to write some new songs. Yeah. After this.
468. This is a beautiful truth. Beautiful truth. The new and living way. 468. I'm hanging on.
Sorry.
It's all right. You're a child of God. you'd like to stand, if you're inclined.
Father is rich in houses and lands. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hands. Of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold, his coffers are full. He has riches untold. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. With Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King. My Father's own Son, the Savior of men, once wandered on earth as the poorest of them. But now he is pleading for sinners on high, and will give me a home when he comes by and by. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. With Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King. I once was an outcast, a stranger on earth, a sinner by choice and an alien by birth. But I've been adopted, my name's written down, and heir to a mansion, a robe and a crown. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. With Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King. But enter a cottage, oh, why should I care? They're building a palace for me over there. Though exiled from home, yet still I may sing, oh, glory to God, I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. With Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King.
Shall we bow our heads? So we need to pray for
Danny.
Danny, what are we praying for?
Danny requested the prayer. He's going to go to church and try and share with people.
Okay.
He wanted a prayer.
All right. We'll pray for Danny. Father, we thank you so much for this beautiful Sabbath. We thank you that we are your children. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you took our nature and in our flesh, you received the full assurance that we are sons and daughters of God. You slew the enmity, the hatred that was in human nature, and you opened a new and living way that we might become sons and daughters of God. Father, I have a special prayer for Danny that as he ministers, as he shares at church, that he too will invite others to become sons and daughters of God, no longer sons and daughters of the devil. And we thank you that even though Satan will tempt all of us to give this up, to trip us up, to make us think that we're unworthy, that we can take hold of this by faith in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, our next live stream will be tonight at 7:15. So God bless for now.